إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وبعد. The Quran refers time and again to people and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls them people of intelligence. Al-ulil al-bab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says قَوْمِ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ قَوْمِ يَعْقِلُونَ, people who reflect, people who think and so on. Now therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that there are signs for such people, there is hidayat for such people, there are people who are who can think and who reflect, who will reach the right path. So therefore I think it is important for us to think. Now the reason I'm saying that is because we are under an illusion that we think. Actually we don't think. We are trained, conditioned from birth, and our schooling, irrespective of what kind of schooling it is, schooling conditions us also not to think, but to accept whatever is told to us without questioning, without thinking. We are in this mold, so continuously we are told this is right and therefore you should do it. There is no need to think about that. This is the world view, whatever world view you come from, whichever your culture, whichever your country and so on. So we are conditioned not to think. And that's the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also draws our attention again and again. Because just to think about this, if thinking was normal, Allah did not say there are signs for people who breathe, you know, because everybody breathes. Allah says people who think. Why? Because thinking is not natural. Thinking is not natural, thinking is not normal. And therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, use your brain, think. And this is across cultures, it's not nothing which is specific to Indians or Muslims or anything. Across cultures, human beings are trained like this. This is how society is formed, where people, majority of people, and that's the reason why we have what we call philosophers and we have thinkers and so on, right? Why? Because they think. They do things which other people don't do. Allama Iqbal, for example, we have a lot of respect for him and we say he was a great thinker. Why? He was not the only man with a brain. Everyone has brains. So how come Allama Iqbal's contribution, what's his contribution? He didn't build any buildings or, no, he thought. So the point is that thinking is not a usual or natural thing and therefore it must be learnt. Now, I thought therefore let me give you a quick model on which we can think. There is, in psychology we teach a model called, which was made by a man called David Cobb, which is, we call it the model of adult learning. This is how adults learn. I think this is how everyone learns, I mean not only adults but model of learning. We also call it model of active learning and so on. Now, if you imagine, I'll send you a model also with this. When you get the Fajr reminder, you will get a framework. But if you imagine a diamond shape, you know, like a kite, this way, two inverted. This is one triangle, and this is another triangle. So two inverted triangles. Right on top is David Cobb. He calls it concrete experience. Concrete experience. Something happens. For example, we are sitting here in the masjid after Salat al-Fajr, we are listening to the Fajr reminder. So the concrete experience, what happened? We sat here, listened to this reminder. And then from concrete experience, David Cobb says that we follow a cycle of thinking, provided we do it consciously. So from concrete experience, we go to what he calls reflective observation, which is that now, after 10-15 minutes, if this session finishes, then we go home. Once we go home, we then reflect on what happened. So reflective observation is, you are not in that concrete experience anymore, that experience is over. You have gone to wherever else you had gone to. And there in your mind, you are reflecting on what happened. And I like the term used, reflective observation, which means that in your mind, you are actually seeing what was happening there. So mentally you are seeing, I was sitting here, I was doing this. And as a result of reflective observation, David Cobb says that you form what he calls abstract conceptualization. So as a result of the reflective observation, So, concrete experience on top, reflective observation on the right, then at the bottom is abstract conceptualization. So, you form an abstract concept, which means you learn a lesson. And from the abstract conceptualization, you come here to the left, which is, he calls it active experimentation. So, in simple terms, without using the jargon, something happens, we think about it, we learn a lesson, we apply the lesson. Right? It's a very simple and a very effective concept of thinking. But as I said, this happens, this is not natural, it is not normal, it will not happen unless we consciously move through this cycle. Now, what happens to a lot of us is we do not move through the entire cycle. So, we have experiences common to everyone. We all have experience. But in this experience, first and foremost, what happens is that many people in the experience, they don't gather all the data in the experience. They are not aware of themselves when they are in the experience. So, the experience itself is not really clear to them and so forth. Then, when they go into reflective observation, some people get stuck there. So now you brood and you are thinking and you fall into a cycle. You're going over and over and over and over. And especially, either way, whether it was a good experience or a bad experience, you find that you from there you are not going anywhere. You just, now in some cases, if the experience itself was negative, then you might go, in severe cases, you might go into a state of depression, which comes out of just brooding. There's no action coming out of it. You're just saying, "Arey, kai kuhua ki, kai kuhua, why did this happen? Why? Now, where is the answer to why did it happen? It, whatever happened, happened. Now, you have to move from there somewhere. But if you just get stuck in that, then there is no result out of that. Right? So, reflective observation, this is what happens to some people. So, they get stuck in that. Some other people, from the concrete experience, reflective observation, either they don't do at all, or it is extremely brief, and they jump directly to a conclusion. Right? That's why in English we have this term, jumping to a conclusion, which means that something happened, without thinking, you formed a concept. Now, obviously, that concept cannot be accurate, it cannot be correct, because no thought went into that. Just the experience. And this is how a lot of stereotypes and a lot of prejudices happen, because of this jumping from experience to a concept. For example, you meet somebody on a train, right? You have an experience with that person, good or bad. Right? You meet a Muslim on a train, you have an experience with that person. Either he was a nice person, very, very pleasant experience, or he was some obnoxious creature and he did something. So, you say, Muslims are like this. Now, if you sit down and analyze and you say, excuse me, how many Muslims have you met? One. And you want to label 1.5 billion people globally on the basis of that one experience with one individual? But why is this? This is very common. This is extremely common. All our prejudices, irrespective of what they are based on this, on some concrete experience. In many cases, it is not even a personal concrete experience, it is what you have heard from somebody. And then you jump to a conclusion, right? I was giving a lecture to a group of US diplomats, and one of them, in the question and answer after the lecture finished, in the Q&A session, one of them said that I always thought, he asked me a couple of questions, I answered. After that, he said, I always thought that Muslim scholars were very, he said they were very serious and very dull and maybe rude, that kind of dour. So I said, how many Muslim scholars have you met? So, he said, one. I said, when? He said, now. So, I said, what's your opinion? He said, my opinion is, I think I was wrong. So, I said, there you are. So, if you're going to say Muslim scholars, you're talking about a hell of a lot of people. And I'm not a scholar in the first place, so forget about me. But I'm saying, you're talking about a lot of people. and you are basing that entire impression on about all those people on one experience with somebody. I said, this is a... He said, no, I understand what you mean. Now, this is what happens, because concrete experience, you jump to a concept. So that's the second fault with not thinking in a structured way. Third thing which happens is that, yes, you had a concrete experience. You also did some serious reflective observation. You formed a concept, you learnt a lesson, but this lesson never gets applied. So we learn the lesson and we sit. Now, unless we apply the lesson, how do you know whether that lesson was right or wrong? Because many times you find that you have an experience, you reflect, you form a lesson, and then when you apply the lesson, you realize that the concept was wrong. The thing is not like what I thought. So then you actually, at that time, what is happening now? When you apply the lesson, you are back in the concrete experience. So now you change your view. Right? Now, the reason I'm saying is that if you remember this simple construct, then thinking becomes much more clear. And conceptualization becomes much better. In psychology, we say that what you do not conceptualize, you do not learn. So experience, as they say, is an old proverb in English which says that experience is not what happens to you, experience is what you do with what happens to you. Because if you just take happenings, if you take two 40-year-old men, they both have 40 years of life experience. But you can't say that both those people are equally wise and equally, they won't be. Why? The reason is what? Reason is, what did they do with that 40 years of life experience? So one of them would have used that in a structured, positive, useful way. Another person would have just lived. So just breathing is not living. So if you are going to benefit from experiences, many people travel, right? They travel, and nowadays travel has become quite common. So people go, they go on a holiday here, holiday there, so on, go take photographs, come back. And if you ask them, say, what did you learn? Many very wise people, they have said that travel is the best way of learning. There's a friend of mine in Bangladesh who was telling me, he said there's one of the big sets, one of the big billionaires from old Dhaka, not a very highly educated person himself, but very big businessman. He says he, in a Bangladeshi passport, to get visas is very difficult. So he says what he does is that he decides to go to such and such a country. Then he sends all the passports, his whole family, all children, everybody, to the embassy for a visa. And that may take, few weeks, few months. So whenever it happens, it happens. Once the visa comes, he says the entire family goes for this travel, this vacation. He says even if it is in the middle of the school term, he will take the kids to this vacation. The school says, we will throw your child out of the school. They say, no problem. Take the child out of school. If necessary, remove him from school, and they all go on a vacation. So he said, we asked him, he said, you are mad, what's wrong with you? This middle of the school term, you are taking the child out of school, you are taking him for a vacation. He said, no, it's not vacation. He said, this is the real learning. He said, this is where they learn. He said, this school is all rubbish. He said, what is the teaching school? He'll come back, he'll get his degree. This is all nonsense. Why they learn nothing in the school. He said, actual learning is in travel. So we take them, he said, I don't take them simply to go and look at buildings. We go, we travel, we think, we write journals, and we do various things, and we come back, and he said, they're learning in that month, 2 months, 3 months, and they go on long periods. That learning is far more valuable for them in terms of life lessons, how to deal with people and negotiate and travel and different cultures and different languages and different systems. He said, that is 10 times or 100 times more valuable than whatever book learning they are getting in school. Now, I'm not suggesting that you should pull your kid out of school and do that. I'm just giving an example that travel, even travel, unless you do it with thinking, is, I won't say it's a waste, by all means do that, but really it's not much use. You are not getting the benefit that you can get from it. And that's which is one of the biggest benefits from travel is the learning. So systematic thinking, and that's why I thought, let me share this model with you. David Cove's model of adult learning. And inshallah, as I said, you will get the framework also. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make all of this beneficial for us to see his signs and to recognize his signs And to learn from that and get hidayat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from his kitab and from the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya rabbal alamin.